Welcome, dear brethren, to Radio Blast, a voice in the end time. I'm here in the studio with Joseph. Hi, Joseph.
Hi, God bless you.
And we are ready for what the Lord has to tell us today, Joseph.
I don't know.
I know that I have been...
I have some ideas, but it's good to keep open for the Holy Spirit, all right?
Amen. It's true. And I know you for quite a few years, and I know that you like a lot to lean on the Holy Spirit.
Well, I like a lot. I tell you, that's our anchor of salvation, all right? Always leaves room for the Holy Spirit to do things. It's always good that we don't know completely, thoroughly what we are doing. It's good to prepare, definitely, but, you know, to write down the sermons, A, B, C, D, that leaves no space for the Holy Spirit, understand?
Yeah, in fact, many times we had made plans, and then at the last minute, the Spirit would change them.
Right.
Then we would see the fruit of it.
We must not be afraid to change things. We only have to check that, God willing, by the blessing of God, our heart is full of love, Holy Spirit, Word, connection, fellowship with Jesus.
Amen. I want to actually share a testimony about this. In summer, a few months ago, we were receiving some people visiting us, and we had to find quite an appropriate place for them because it was a special situation. And I had gone in a certain part of the town to look for a place there for 2 days in a row, and I didn't find anything. Third day came around, and Joseph told me, Dora, I would like you to go again in that place and find a place for lodging for these people coming down. And I said, Joseph, but I've just been there 2 times, and I asked everywhere. I went up and down, and there isn't such a place as you want. But out of obedience and knowing Brother Joseph that he is learning to be spirit-led, I went. I went and I asked one person. You know, I was, to be honest, murmuring in my heart. I was saying, come on, it's just a waste of time. I'm here for the third day going around in circles. But I obeyed. I went and I asked. The very first person I asked said, yes, I know the place. He gave me the phone number, and it was exactly the perfect place that we were looking for these brethren coming down.
Praise the Lord.
And I'll never forget that, because it taught me not to go with my mind and not to go with a plan or, you know, but to be spirit-led. And it's so important in our life for the Lord to learn to be spirit-led.
Thank you, Lord.
And there are many other testimonies with my life for the Lord and Brother Joseph and Deborah that it's true. It's very important to learn to lean on the Lord and on His leadings.
Praise the Lord.
And I want to bless you, Joseph, for teaching us to be spirit-led.
Yeah, that's just thanks the Lord. Jesus said that I cannot do nothing except what the Father shows me. And we really need to learn to do like Jesus. We never reach His perfections, but that's the direction to grow in. We should do nothing unless what the Lord shows us.
Amen, amen, amen. Lord, help us. Brother Joseph, I would like to start with some news that I would like to ask your opinion about. I know that recently Russia and China have signed a gas treaty that Russia will sell gas to China for the next 30 years. This is quite a news.
Yeah, it's quite, it's like things are changing. It's like, you know, the West are trying to push Russia into a corner. They're going to boycott this and that. So it's like China took the double jump and took the opportunity to go to Russia and say, look, right now you're in trouble, sell us your gas for cheap. They've been trying to negotiate this gas Russia-China for 10 years now.
Wow.
Because China wants a special deal, this and that. Anyway, they finally, it's like now Russia really needs a breakthrough. So they made a contract for the next 30 years.
It's a long time.
Russia is going to furnish energy thirsty and energy starved China of gas, which is going to make much easier for China to develop even faster. She is quickly becoming the world's producer, number one, bypassing America.
China's bypassing America?
Yeah, it's just this month. This year or next year, she's going to bypass America,
wow,
become the number one. So that's quite something. Remember that America won World War II, the Second World War, because she has so much production, and she was the world's productive country, number one.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's very symbolic that China is bypassing. So behind every big army, you need to have a huge production. That's why Germany lost the war, because they bombed up all the factory, and so Germany couldn't produce and lost the war. That was one of the main reasons.
But this gas treated has any end time implications or no?
Well, it's a little detail in the direction that Russia and China getting together, that will be the Antichrist bloc. And then eventually even Europe will join, according to the prophecy in Daniel chapter 7. The fourth beast, Rome, has 10 horns, will join together with the 11th horn, which is the Antichrist, which should come from Russia, Europe, over there.
Yeah, but as we see right now, Europe is pretty much on the side of the United States.
Definitely.
And they are against Russia.
Yeah, yeah.
So why do you say that eventually Europe will join this bloc, China,
but
Russia?
But politics doesn't have any ethic. Like Hitler said, when you lie, tell big lies, people wouldn't believe you had the nerve to lie so big.
Amazing.
Every country you go, in America, the world goes around America. In Russia, the world goes around Russia. China, the same. Fascism, the same. Nazism. You see, the problem with the square heads of this world is that everybody thinks that the world, it's an astronomy problem they have. They think that the solar system goes around their political system, but it doesn't. every politics, they think they are the center of the galaxy, the center of the universe, the center of everything. In reality, they're nothing without Jesus. They're a bunch of atheists.
I still don't understand, why do you think Europe will eventually join with Russia?
Simply because it's prophesied. It's simple. It doesn't look like.
No, it doesn't.
Absolutely. At every turn, Europe is always with America, but you can see how World War II began in a certain way and it ended up the opposite as far as alliances.
Yes.
Like countries switch sides, like Romania, Hungary, Italy, Germany. And now Germany lost the war with America, now is the number one friends of America in Europe. Italy started with Germany against America and ended up against Germany for America. Now, you see, Japan was the America enemy. They had to drop two atomic bombs to win the war. Terrible. And now Japan is one of the strongest, it is the strongest allied in Asia.
Of the States.
Yeah, because the boat of politics flows in the same direction the wind of interest and selfishness and greed and power blows.
So that's what you were meaning earlier, that often politics just goes wherever the interest goes.
Prostitution.
That's what you are referring to.
You know, wherever the interest is, that's what politics is. Mm-hmm. I mean, they have zero integrity, you know. If they just to get the votes of the homosexual, they all become homosexuals. Just because the Islamics, they vote leftist, all the leftist political party opened the Europe wide to the Islam. And now Islam, they don't care about democracy, they just want the Islamic laws, etc., etc. It's a mess.
See, so basically
the politicians are selling their countries just to get some Muslim to vote for them. And the Muslim, thank you very much, and now we're going to take over. It was like when in about some 21 centuries ago, it was like France had, Gaul was called in those days, had problems with rebelliousness and other countries threatening. So they asked the Roman legions to come and help them against their enemies. So Julius Caesar marched into France to help the French. And then after he helped the French, he took over France. You understand?
Yes, yes.
So that it's the same now. You know, they're now all the socialists, the communists, now they call socialist political parties in Europe. They are pushing to get the Muslims because they vote. They vote for socialism. You know, so but they're blind because those guys are going to take them over.
Amen.
Soon they're going to tell them what to do. Understand?
Yes, it's clear. So basically, because the Bible prophesies, Europe will eventually join Russia, even though now it doesn't look like.
Oh, it doesn't look like at all.
Yes, but it's clear.
If you would have told the Nazi that Italy would have ended up the war against them, they never have believed it.
Yes, it's true.
Okay, but Mussolini was killed, and the wind was blowing America, so they became Americans, and they still are, kind of. But soon the wind is going to blow toward the Antichrist, which comes from Gog. Ezekiel 38, it says that Gog, the Christ, come from Magog, Russia. So the wind will blow the other way, understand?
Yes, it's clear.
So anyway, the end of the story, we know the end of the book. The Bible, at the end, it says that the Antichrist will be sent to hell, Revelation 19:20.
Hallelujah.
I'm burning the lake of fire, and Jesus Christ, Jesus will have the victory.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. It's good to think about that.
Yeah.
About the end of the book. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I would like to continue with a very interesting question that a brother sent in. You have posted on the radio and on the YouTube a very interesting message saying that the Bible tells that souls are not going to burn in hell forever. Now, this brother is sending you some scriptures, Brother Joseph, to actually try to contradict what you are saying.
Well, he's welcome to do it if he has any scripture. I'll pray for enough humility to admit I was wrong.
So he's saying, I saw your video about souls not burning in hell forever, but I would like to share with you the following verses, which to me, it proves that they do burn forever.
Please do.
And it's Revelation 14, 9 and 10.
Okay.
And Revelation 20, verse 10.
Can you read them?
Yes. And also he says, keep in mind that the Bible says that it was better for Judah not to be born.
Okay, what does that got to do with his soul burning in hell forever?
I'm just reading you the message.
Right, but you can tell this brother that Jesus never said that Judah's souls would burn in hell forever. Judas ended up, that's God is the judge, I don't know. But Jesus did not talk about his soul burning in hell forever. So mm-hmm. that doesn't apply for sure. Next.
So shall I read the scriptures he sent you?
Yes, please.
So Revelation 14, 9 and 10. Then a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast and his image and receives his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. I guess also 11. And the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, those who worship the beast and his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name. Shall I read Revelation 20, verse 10 also?
Sure.
Revelation 20, verse 10. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophets are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Well, you must admit, Brother Joseph, that it says forever and ever they'll be tormented.
Yeah, definitely.
So it does look a little bit like it will. It's not completely true that you say that they will not burn in hell forever, the souls.
Well, no, but I never said that they don't burn in hell forever. If you check my message, I never said that. My message was about the souls, not about the body.
Okay.
See, body and soul are different things. Okay.
Can you explain, please?
Well, for example, I don't know. You know, Moses saw the tree burning bush. It was burning but not consuming. So the carcasses don't consume. That doesn't mean that the bush was alive. So the bush was not consuming. But was it alive? I don't know. It doesn't say. Now, concerning the message is that my Bible research, it was not about the body. It was about the soul. Because the life is in the soul. It's not in the body.
So why do you sustain that the souls don't burn in hell forever when it says the torment will be forever and ever?
Okay, but not the souls.
Well, it's true it doesn't say the word soul. That is true. But?
Well, simply, look, let me share a scripture. Go to Isaiah 66, 22 to 24.
Isaiah?
My point is the souls. Souls don't burn in hell because the soul represents life. Just like the life of the flesh is in the blood, so the life of the departed person is in the soul.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Isaiah 66, 24.
22 until 24.
22 until 24, okay. For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, says the Lord.
Did you read 22?
I'm reading right now.
Just the beginning.
For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make.
Okay, so just this. So he's talking about new heavens and new earth, okay?
Yes.
So in other words, eternity starts.
Okay.
Okay, that's after the souls are being judged. In Revelation 20, verse 11, the souls of the dead are being judged.
Yes.
And the next chapter, Revelation 21, begins new heaven and new earth.
Yes.
So we're talking about after the judgment.
Okay.
So here in Isaiah 66, 22, it talks about new heavens and new earth, which Revelation 20 and 21 shows that they are after the judgment. judgment is repeated, Revelation 20:11. New heavens and new earth are after that, which is the next chapter, Revelation 21.
Okay.
So we need to chronologically position when the new heavens and the new earth are. And that is after the judgment. So what happened to the souls after the judgment? Okay, read it. Verse 24.
Okay.
Isaiah 66:24.
And they shall go forth and look upon the corpses of the men who have transgressed against me. For their worm does not die, and their fire is not quenched. They shall be an abhorrence to all flesh.
Okay. So in any dictionary you look, the word corpse always means dead bodies.
Yes.
In fact, if you go to look, if we read the New Living Translation, the scripture, Isaiah 66:24, it says, and as they go out, they will see the dead bodies of those who are rebelled against me.
You mean it's without a soul?
Without a soul, dead bodies. Very clear. Isaiah 66, it says here. Look, go to the Amplified Bible. It says, they shall go forth and gaze upon the dead bodies of the rebellious men who have stepped over against me.
Mm-hmm.
The worm shall not die, the fire shall not be quenched, and they shall be an abhorrence to all mankind. An abhorrence.
I understand. Yes, it's true that it doesn't say soul. It just says dead bodies.
Okay. So there is no way around it. You see, it's talking about... look, it says in verse 24, it says, the worm shall not die, the fire shall not be quenched.
So is that what will be forever burning, that worm?
The worm doesn't die.
In other words?
No, it's like, have you ever seen, like, when you burn the garbage, like, the word hell,
mm-hmm.
lake of fire,
yes.
is the Greek word Gehenna in the New Testament.
Yes.
Gehenna was a place out of Jerusalem where they used to burn the garbage. The whole Jerusalem used to just burn it. And it's like it was burning continually.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was a picture of hell, a place to burn the garbage.
Mm-hmm.
The garbage was not alive, was dead, except for the worms. In other words, if you throw a carcass of a dog or whatever, they wouldn't burn a living dog.
Yes.
For example, the dog would be dead, but the worms would be alive.
Mm-hmm.
Because the fire, it didn't cover everything. There was always little corners, smoky, this and that. If you ever seen that, like some kind of, where they burn the garbage, there is worms all the time.
Yes, it's true.
Okay, so now I want you to notice this. Isaiah 66:24, it says, they shall see the dead bodies, and it says, their worm shall not die, and the fire shall not be quenched. Now, if you go to the words of Jesus, Mark 9:43, look what it says. Look, Mark 9:43-48. You want to read that?
43-48.
Till the end.
If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life maimed rather than having two hands to go to hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched.
So Jesus is quoting here Isaiah 66:24, which we just read. But
and
not
he connects it to hell.
Oh, well, yeah, exactly, exactly. But the explanation of this, if you go back to Isaiah, you see, he's talking about dead bodies.
Mm-hmm.
It's true, he talks about the worm doesn't die, the fire is not quenched, but does that imply that the soul is alive? No, it implies that the soul is dead.
How do you know?
Because Isaiah 66:24 is the foundation that Jesus is quoting, and Isaiah is talking about dead bodies. So
yes.
If you take the whole context or the whole prophecy that Jesus is quoting, even though Jesus is making a resume, a condensation, the whole prophecy, it talks about dead bodies where there is worm and fire. So keep reading.
But how do you know that the soul is not implied, that it will
Because
be
Isaiah
dead?
Says the bodies are dead.
Yeah, but maybe it's just omitted. Maybe it is implied soul as well.
Where?
In Isaiah 66.
No, if it says dead bodies, they're dead bodies. Sorry. Dead bodies, it doesn't imply anything. It implies death. It doesn't talk about living souls. It would specify.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Okay.
See, the whole Mark 9:43-48, look at verse 44. It says that. Verse 46, see, it repeats many times. What, 44?
A few times, yeah.
Okay. 44, it says that. And then 46 again, and then 48 again. It repeats three times. What does it say? The worm?
The worm does not die, and the fire is not quenched.
Okay, this is a prophecy from Isaiah, but Isaiah specified clearly, he's talking about dead bodies. Or you say, well, how do you know there's an empire living soul with that? That would have to be a pretty wild interpretation without any scriptures.
Okay.
You got that? So that's what Jesus was quoting in Mark. Now, another thing. You want to go to Revelation 2, verse 11?
Revelation 2.
Okay. He wasn't here. Let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Go ahead.
Verse 11. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death.
Right. What's the second death? Go to Revelation 20, verse 6.
Revelation 20, verse 6. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such, the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years.
See, here's a contrast. Death against life, life against death. Second death has no power, but they shall reign. Can you see, again, that's the second scripture. Third scripture, Revelation 20, 14.
20, verse 14. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death.
This is the second death. What in the world is this? Chapter 21, Revelation 21, 8.
21, verse 8. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death.
Which is?
The second death. You mean the souls of all these people?
Well, you tell me. Somebody who goes, read the Revelation 20:11. Somebody goes in front of God to be judged.
Okay.
Read.
20:11. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them.
Okay. Keep going.
And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. And books were open, and another book was open, okay, which is the book of life.
So the dead standing in front of God. If they are standing, they're not dead. In other words, the body was dead, but not their souls.
Okay,
they're
so
alive.
Their souls standing in front of God.
Yeah, of course. Mm-hmm. The soul has a body, spiritual body.
Yes.
So he's talking, he's saying dead, so we understand who he's talking about.
Okay.
He's talking about the souls of the dead, but the souls are alive.
Yes.
Okay, so here is the judgment. All right, so read the verse 15.
20, verse 15?
Yeah.
And anyone not found in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire.
You understand?
We just read that the lake of fire is the second death.
Exactly. Look, read verse 14, yes.
Revelation 20, 14. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death.
Okay. So, in other words, verse 15, it says, they're not found in the book of life, they're cast in the lake of fire. Verse 14, it says, this is the second death. Now, somebody who's dead, okay, you already died once, the first death, the body, the flesh. He only has one more thing that can die, nothing else, and that's the soul.
Yes.
So what's the second death? If the soul doesn't die here, can somebody tell me what dies? These guys are not born again, okay? These guys, they don't have the Spirit of Christ. They're not being reborn.
So they will die, they will be cast into the lake of fire dead?
No, alive. Alive.
But you're saying their soul dies?
It dies in the lake of fire.
Okay, look, so their soul dies into the lake of fire.
Read Revelation 19:20.
Then the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet who worked signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone.
You got that? So they were cast alive. So that's where they die.
So they're cast alive and they die into the lake of fire, which is the second
death. That's what it says in Revelation 20:14. Mm-hmm. This is the second death.
Yeah. In other words, that's what has to die, the soul. There's nothing else to die.
Exactly. As soon as they go in the lake of fire, it doesn't say they keep living and yelling and screaming.
I understand. But still, this brother with the scriptures he sent you, he used the scriptures where he says forever and ever,
yes,
they'll be tormented.
But yes.
So, soul.
But yes, Isaiah 66:24. They will forever see the dead bodies of those who transgressed against me.
But a dead body cannot be tormented.
Of course.
Of course.
Of course it's tormented. Mm-hmm. Of course. Definitely. Why not? You can torment, it's not the soul, it's the body you're tormenting. Mm-hmm. Like if you take a piece of metal from a scrap, take a hammer, you keep beating it, one way to say it, you are tormenting that piece of metal with your hammer.
I understand.
That doesn't mean that the metal has a soul.
I understand.
It's a way of expressions.
Yes, I understand. So basically, from all the other scriptures that you've shown, it shows that the dead body is what will suffer and be tormented forever.
Yeah, not we but suffer. Not we suffer because it is alive, but it will. The dead body is tormented
together with a worm. And
yeah, it's just like you find. I don't know. You kill a dog. I hope you don't. And then after he's dead, you keep tormenting the carcass with a stick.
Yes, I understand.
You can torment all kinds of things. You can torment a I don't know, a piece of dry wood. You can torment a dead body. You can, I mean, you hear stories of people demon-possessed to kill somebody, and after they keep shooting, tormenting the carcass, tormenting the dead body, you understand? So it doesn't say tormenting the soul. Mm-hmm. You understand? You can torment anything.
Yeah. It's actually quite a picture of God's love, this.
Yeah, in fact, the reason I got this revelation here is because a few years ago, I bumped into some debate, and there were some Satanists attacking, accusing God, blaspheming. They could not believe in a God who enjoys to see people yelling and screaming in hell forever. Uh-huh. I mean, if anybody got like burned on the fire partially, they know how bad it is. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's terrible.
It's true, yes.
Okay, people who set themselves on fire and die suicides like some religionists do. It's like, boy, they really screamed it. They suffer the pains of hell. Imagine screaming forever. You know how long is forever? Do you have any idea?
Long time.
Forever. We're not talking about a million years, a billion years, a trillion years, a quadrillion years. We're not talking about that. You're talking longer than that. Forever is never ending. Now, do you think God, he says his love, is going to, he says you love your enemy. Here is one. Mm-hmm. And then you love your enemies in your preachings. Okay, and then you turn around and you make them suffer forever. So God could be accused of hypocrisy. Well, you cannot. Because he's not the kind of God who enjoys to see the suffering. In fact, there is a scripture in the Bible. It says, I, the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked.
Wow, that's another very good scripture, Brother Joseph.
So if God does not have pleasure in the death of the wicked,
wow.
Imagine, let's put it this way. Imagine God said, he says, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. But then he says, but I have pleasure to see them yelling and screaming forever. Mm-hmm. Does it make any sense?
No.
Is that your picture of God?
No.
Not at all. So you see, the Bible is all in parables. Okay, and it's the glory of God to hide a matter, but the glory of the king is to search it out. That's why only if you seek, you find. Only if you knock, it's open unto you. Only if you ask, it shall be answered unto you. You have to seek, knock, search, ask. Keep and keep seeking. Knock and keep knocking. Ask and keep asking. Only if you seek and search and ask, you find.
Amen.
Because everything is hidden under parable. If you read in Revelation 17 or Revelation 13, it says, here is the mind who has wisdom. He that has wisdom, let him count the number of the beast. Why he that has wisdom? Because the devil's children will take the mark of the beast because they are not searching, they are not seeking, they are not asking for God's wisdom. In Revelation 17, it repeats, here is the mind who has wisdom. Okay, Revelation 17, 10, 11, over there, it says, five are fallen, five kings, five hills are fallen. One is, but only the mind with wisdom understands this.
Amen.
So things are hidden in the Bible.
Amen. And it's okay. Amazing to you gave a few other scriptures to prove your point. You balance scripture with scripture.
Yeah, so myself, I always preached, no, you go to hell forever. I heard people preaching, no, God doesn't send people to hell. No, hell is not forever. I would go to the Bible and say, no, those guys are wrong. It says here forever. But then one day it came to me, I asked God the question, I said, God, I know hell is forever, but are people screaming, suffering, burning, alive, their souls forever? And God told me, search the Bible. So I searched and searched and searched, and I just, then one day the revelation came to me, and I just looked on the concordance, and the words were souls and hell. There was nothing.
Hmm.
I kept going, souls and hell, hell and soul, nothing.
Wow.
Only body, carcasses, dead bodies, etc. Worm shall not die. But it's never talking about souls burning, okay? So, listen, as everybody knows, my only religion and my only doctrinal book is the Bible. I don't have any others.
Amen.
All right, so, in fact, I never preached this message, okay, until God revealed it to me. But I always ask God, never give me a revelation of God. That's always been my prayer. You know me for many years.
Yes, it's true.
Say, God, I said, never give me a revelation if you don't give me scriptures. You know, like Gideon, I want to see the fleece. It needs to be wet now, and then it has to be dry. I want to see clear. My fleece is always the scriptures.
Amen. Thank
okay.
you.
Okay, and that's why I sounded the trumpet. No. I'm sorry for those who want to depict a God, the cruel, who's there, drinking a cup of tea, watching people screaming and yelling. Or maybe God could be there, I cry with you. But wait a second, you're not burning.
Mm-hmm.
So this picture is not my God. My God is pictured on the Calvary. Mm-hmm. A God who becomes flesh in the body of Jesus, who suffers, who gets spit in the face, they pulled his beard, they made fun of him, they put a crown of, you are a king, here is a crown for you. Here, crown of thorns. If you are God, come down from the cross, then we'll believe you. And he was there, enduring the people spitting to him, seeing his mother, Maria, just crying, hysteric or whatever, so much that he dedicated a disciple and said, John, this is your mother, take care of her. I imagine by that time, his whole family, Jesus' flesh family, rejected her because she was so much on the side of Jesus. So she needed a support, so he sent a disciple. That's your mother. Mother, this is your son who's dying on the cross. Words of love.
Thank you, Lord.
That's my picture of my God.
Amen.
Okay, my God is not somebody who enjoys, not even somebody as bad as the devil, screaming and yelling. I don't know, in his wisdom, they might yell and scream for a while. Maybe 30 seconds, maybe 30 minutes, maybe 3 hours, maybe a day, 2 days, 3 days. I have no idea. God will have to decide that. In fact, there are people like Bill Weiss went to 23 minutes in hell, and he saw people in the lake of fire burning and screaming. I always thought, I never believed that is happening now, because that will happen only after the millennium, Revelation chapter 20, the white throne judgment. Okay, that's when people get thrown in hell. So what did he see, Bill Weiss, which I believe was a true vision? I believe he saw projections. Like Jesus said in Luke chapter 10, I saw Satan falling from heaven. Well, the devil didn't fall then. The devil will fall in Revelation 12, the beginning of 3.5 years, the tribulation. Mm-hmm. Revelation 12:7, Satan falls from heaven.
Yes.
Just like when Jesus said, I think it was John 21 over there, Jesus said, receive the Holy Spirit, and it blew on them. Did they receive the Holy Spirit? No, it came in the Pentecost. You follow?
Mm-hmm. They didn't receive the Holy Spirit when he blew on them?
No.
Nothing?
No, that was like a promise.
No, I always imagine that some kind of a little bit of the Holy Spirit they received.
You said in Acts chapter 1, he said, wait in Jerusalem until you be anointed from high of the Holy Spirit. And then he came down as a mighty wind, okay, and they got filled. That was just a promise. You see, God calls things which are not as though they were in this time.
Yes. Very interesting. And thank you, Jesus, for his love. It is true. It shows God's love in a great way. This
proves that Satan is wrong. No, our God that doesn't enjoy. No, even the Satanists. The Satanists who now are worshiping Satan and sacrificing children, even they receive God's mercy. Even Amen. Sodom and Gomorrah don't go to the lake of fire. Did you know that?
Amen.
You know the
Amen.
Sodomites, Sodom and Gomorrah, that God burned them up? You know the people got blown away in the days of Noah, killed in the flood. That doesn't mean they go automatically, necessarily, to hell. Because Jesus said that those guys who perished in the flood, Jesus went to evangelize them and offer them salvation after death in the spirit world.
Mm-hmm. How can you say that, Brother Joseph, that there is salvation afterwards, after death?
Again, I don't like preaching without scriptures. I wouldn't say, every doctrinal point, the Lord has given me scripture. He says in 1 Peter 3:19 and 1 Peter 4:6, he says that the people who died in Noah's flood, Jesus, when he died those 3 days, he went into the spirit world, Hades, And he preached the gospel to them, to offer to them too salvation.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Yes.
So there is salvation even in the spirit world. Children have been aborted. When the rapture comes, the children are going to be around, whatever. Children who die in a car accident or whatever, when they're 4, 5, 6, 7 years old, before getting saved, in the spirit world. Okay, they don't go straight to the torments. Of course, no. There are situations there that God will give them the same chance, the same opportunity like we have here. Amen?
Amen.
Why? Because God is love.
Can you say with
me?
God is love. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, that was clear. Thank you, Jesus. Talking about the afterlife and talking about the new earth and the new heavens and everything, we actually have another question from another brother.
Okay, what question?
About the millennium. He's asking, yeah, will there be people living on the earth during the millennium? But before you answer that, I would like to take a musical break and
right,
we'll hear you, dear ones, again.
Good.
Praise God bless you. Stay with us.
Above all. You took the fall and thought of me above.
Welcome back to Radio Blast, A Voice in the End Time. As I said before the song, we have a question from another brother about the millennium. His exact question is the following. During the millennium, will there be people living on the earth? Or these 1,000 years will be used as a purification of the earth from sin? What do you say, Brother Joseph?
Definitely. During the millennium, there'll be people. Not many, because most of them will be wiped out by war, the Antichrist. There's going to be World War III coming. There's going to be atomic war coming. Look, go to Revelation 9:18.
Revelation 9:18. By these three plagues, a third of mankind was killed, by the fire and the smoke and the brimstone which came out of their mouth.
See, there is a bunch of wars coming, okay? In Daniel 11, from 21 until 45, which is the history, the story of the Antichrist, you can count 5 wars. Okay. One of them is going to be atomic.
Okay. So, but you did say that there will be people living on the earth. Can you give us some scriptures on that?
Yes, like most of the people will be annihilated, okay?
I understand, because of these wars.
Because they have the mark of the beast. However, there will be very few who will survive. Maybe 500 million, I don't know, but not many. Just in this one war, there'd be a third mankind killed. Today there are 7 million, so you can imagine. You
know, that's a lot of people.
That's, what is it? It's about 2.5 billion or something like that.
Yes, about, yeah.
Okay, so conclusion is like...
Give us a scripture that says there will be people living on the new earth during the millennium.
Okay. Scripture. Look, in Daniel chapter 7, okay. Look, you can read the...
Daniel 7.
From verse 2.
Okay.
2 and 3.
Daniel spoke, saying, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea. And four great beasts came up from the sea, each different from the other. Can you please explain, Brother Joseph?
Well, look, in Daniel 7, 4, it says the first of these beasts is like a lion. In Daniel 5, then there is a bear with 3 ribs in his mouth. That's also 3 kingdoms, which are passed. And then in verse 7, there's a fourth beast, which has 10 horns, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so what are these things?
What do they have to do with the millennium?
Exactly, read verse 17.
Okay, Daniel 7:17?
Yes.
Okay, 17. Those great beasts, which are four kings which rise out of the earth.
Okay, get it?
So, yes, and still I don't understand.
Okay, and the fourth beast, verse 23.
Verse 23. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be a fourth kingdom on the earth.
Okay, do you understand? So here Daniel is prophesying in Babylon, saying that these four beasts are 4 kingdoms, okay?
Yes.
And the fourth, it has 10 horns in its head. See, verse 7. The fourth beast has 10 horns. This is the famous Roman Empire with 10 horns, which represents the kingdom of the Antichrist. So these are the kingdoms. All right, then if you see, after these 4 kingdoms, talking about the fourth kingdom has 10 horns. Okay, so that's verse 7. Read verse 8.
Okay. I was considering the horns, and there was another horn, a little one, coming up among them, before whom the 3 of the first horns were plucked out of the roots. And there in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking pompous words.
Okay, so this is the Antichrist. You understand? In fact, you see, 10 and 11, it says the books.
Okay, Daniel 7:10. The court was seated and the books were open.
Okay, see? So this is the judgment. Verse 11. I watched till
the beast was slain and its body destroyed and given to the burning flame.
Okay, so you see? So the beast, the 11 horns with the eyes of a man, the body gets destroyed. That's the Antichrist. When the books are opened, okay, the Christ is judged and is thrown to the lake of fire. That's Revelation 19, verse 20. after Armageddon, the Antichrist turned to the lake of fire. Now, I'm giving all this to show what happened in the millennium.
So you're giving us like a chronology to get to the answer.
I give you an overall to understand what's going on after in the millennium. So these are the four kingdoms after Babylon. Of course, the first one is Babylon. So Babylon, and then the second beast is the bear, which is Medo Persia, and then the leopard, here depicted all in Daniel 7, it's Greece, and the fourth beast is Rome.
Okay.
10 horns is the kingdom of the Antichrist. The 11th horn is the Antichrist, which is thrown to the lake of fire.
Yes.
Okay, so far you have it?
Yes.
All right, good, good, good. So now, what happens after the Antichrist is thrown to the lake of fire? Okay, so in verse 11, it says that his body of the beast, the Antichrist, is destroyed and given to the burning flame. Correct?
Yes.
Verse 11?
Yes.
Okay, read the next scripture, 12.
12. As for the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time.
That's the millennium. So these kingdoms basically have their lives prolonged. These beasts, understand, the four beasts, have their lives prolonged.
In other words, the empires.
Yeah, they continue living.
Okay.
Their life prolonged. But this happens after the Antichrist, this 11 horn, this beast, etc., with the eyes of a man, is thrown to the lake of fire. That is Revelation 19, verse 20. So if that chapter is the Armageddon.
Yes.
Okay, you know, Revelation 19 is Armageddon.
Yes.
It ends in Revelation 19:20. That's the end of Armageddon. And 19:20, okay, the Antichrist is thrown to the lake of fire, parallel of this scripture, Daniel 7:11.
Yes.
So try to understand the parallel.
Yes.
Okay, this is important. So then, while the Antichrist is thrown to the lake of fire at the end of Armageddon, Revelation 19:20, okay?
Yes.
The other beast, the other kingdoms, they have their lives prolonged.
But
they go into the millennium.
But I thought the other kingdoms passed away.
Yeah, they passed away as far as power, but the people are still around.
You mean the people out of this empire?
Of this empire,
nations.
Yeah, of course. It's like when Medo Persia took over Babylon. Babylon continued. The people didn't get completely annihilated. When Greece took over Medo Persia, Alexander the Great, he didn't destroy everyone from Medo Persia. He took over and he controlled them, but their lives were still allowed to live. They were still around. When Rome took over Greece, they didn't destroy Greece, controlled Greece. They were paying taxes to Rome.
Okay, so understand? So the people still live?
Yeah, like the emperor, like for example, they were killed or died, but the people, they continue to live and multiply.
Yes,
okay.
I understand.
So while the Antichrist is thrown to the lake of fire, yet those kingdoms that lost the crowns, lost the power, they were not ruling any longer, yet their people were living, still continue to live. So here we have this chronological important event in history. And this Revelation 19:20, when the Antichrist is burned.
Yes.
That is the end of the Armageddon, the end of the world's kingdom by men, by the devil, and beginning of God's kingdom into the millennium. So the end of Revelation 19 continues with Revelation 20, which is the millennium. So into the millennium, these four beasts, which are four kingdoms, continue to live. Their lives is prolonged for a season.
Yes.
In fact, if you go to Revelation 20, right into the millennium, you see this. You want to go read Revelation 20, verse 4?
Yes, Revelation 20, verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received the mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years.
Okay, so who are they going to rule and reign if everybody's dead?
It's true. You're right. This is a clear proof.
There are the four beasts, which are four kingdoms, whose life is prolonged, while the Antichrist is burned.
You know, I never saw that in Daniel 7 until today. It's the first time I see it so clearly.
So, do you understand? The Antichrist is being burned.
Yes.
He's finished. Goodbye to distractions. All right. Just like we said that there is no souls that live in hell. He doesn't live in hell. He's destroyed. They give him to the flame. He's destroyed. He doesn't say he live forever in hell. He died. just his body is being burned, like we taught before in the other class, that there is no souls in hell.
Yes.
Okay, at the same time, while he's burned in hell, Revelation 19:20, in Revelation chapter 20, begins the millennium, and here are the saints of Christ who rule with Christ for 1,000 years. Rules over who if everybody is dead? They rule over the people, okay, who survived Armageddon, who were not killed in the Holocaust of Armageddon.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, you see, after the millennium, at the end of the millennium, the devil is being set free, and he deceives these people who live in the millennium, lived for 1,000 years.
Mm-hmm. Okay? Does it say that?
But then God destroys them again and forever. In the same chapter, Revelation 20, at the end of the millennium, verse 7, because the devil is imprisoned, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The devil is in prison. Where the Antichrist, the beast is thrown to the lake of fire, the devil is in prison, Revelation 20, verse 1. Okay, at the end of the millennium, okay, the devil is set free. Verse 7, read it.
Now when the 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth.
The nation which lived through the millenniums ruled by Jesus Christ, no anymore ruled by the devil. They were ruled by Christ, yet they did not get converted, most of the nations. Read it, keep reading.
Gog and Magog, to gather them to the battle whose number is as the sand of the sea.
Yes, yes.
And please. They went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them.
Okay, so you see? So
it's so clear, it says nations.
It's very clear. The nations will again follow the devil, or just like today, proving that it is not a matter of the devil being around or the devil not being around. So people are not thrown in hell because of the devil, because of the sins of the devil. People are thrown in hell because of their sins, because even without the devil, they still don't get converted.
Yes,
okay.
Yes, it's true.
So each one is responsible for his sins. You cannot blame everything on the devil. He will go to hell for his sins. And so they surround the camp of the saints. In other words, those people who during the millennium got converted to Christ, there is a place, a capital. I believe according to Zechariah 14, that's going to be Jerusalem.
Physical Jerusalem.
Fire comes from heaven, burns them all, and then after this, their souls of them who got burned up and destroyed, they go and present themselves in front of God, the white throne judgment, for the final judgment. Understand?
Very interesting.
You can read it. Continue reading. Verse 11.
Revelation 20:11. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. Continue?
Yes, until 15.
Okay. 13. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone who was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire.
Okay. So you see, this is the end of the millennium. They rebel. God destroys them. All right. Finally, in verse 10, the devil is thrown to the lake of fire. The people go for judgment. Whoever doesn't pass the judgment, they go to hell. These are not the people written in the book of the Lamb, the people who are saved by the blood of Christ. These are people who will be judged by their works
because they rejected
Christ, right?
Mm-hmm.
So very clear. And then
they rejected Christ?
They rejected Christ.
Isn't it that those who reject Christ go to hell?
Well, the people who accept Christ, they go to heaven, put it this way.
Okay.
See, these people don't have Christ.
Otherwise, they don't have Christ, but they don't necessarily reject him.
Well, that's a very fine line. It's difficult to make a separation here.
Okay.
You see, the ones with Christ, they shall rule and reign with Christ before the millennium, Revelation 20, verse 4.
And during the millennium as well.
And during the millennium, yeah. Mm-hmm. And these guys are the people who will be judged by their works, because they didn't have Christ. Their works were not... It's like the sins were not cleaned and washed by the blood of the Lamb.
Mm-hmm.
So they will have to be judged by the works. It's a terrible judgment. The works are never enough. Nevertheless, some of them are not going to be so completely deserving the lake of fire, so they will live through the white throne judgment, and they will go into the next chapter, Revelation 21, which is a new earth.
Mm-hmm.
New heaven, new earth, new Jerusalem. So the people who skip the lake of fire, Revelation 20, they will go into the new earth, next chapter. You see, just read verse 24. Okay. Chapter 21, 24.
Chapter 21, verse 24. And the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it.
Okay, he's talking about bringing into it, into New Jerusalem. Okay?
It is New Jerusalem.
Yeah. So it talks about outside New Jerusalem, there is nations. See, there are nations of people who are saved from the lake of fire through the white throne judgment.
So not saved in Christ.
Not saved in Christ.
Saved from the white throne judgment.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Because they are on the new earth. Anyway, I think we have a lot of teaching on this in some other titles.
Yes.
If the brethren go through our archive on the radio, they'll find everything there.
Yes, and on the YouTube as well.
Yeah.
Yes. So basically, to answer this question, yes, there will be people living on the earth during the millennium. And in a couple of words, you explained very biblically because?
Well, very simple, look, to make as condensed as possible, because, you know, sometimes to prove points, you have to go through a lot of bibliography, a lot of old prophecies, and somebody is the first time who hears gets confused. All right, so basically, Daniel chapter 7, it shows that there are four beasts, which are four kingdoms.
Yes.
Okay, then the fourth beast has 10 horns, which are the next kingdom of the Antichrist, which is the 11th horn. That clearly you see that in Revelation 17.
Yes.
The 10 horns give power to the beast. Okay?
So the 10 horns are the kingdom of the Antichrist, and the 11th horn is the Antichrist himself.
Exactly, because the fourth beast is Rome, and the 10 horns on its head are the 10 nations that will be the foundations and give power to the 11 horns that the beast will take over the world.
Okay,
you see that in Revelation 13, the Antichrist takes over. You see Revelation 17, the Antichrist, the beast, receive power from the 10 horns on the head of the dragon, which is the same fourth beast, Daniel chapter 7.
Okay,
now the point of this is what? That while the beast is thrown to the lake of fire and destroyed.
The
Antichrist, yes, the 11 horn, which is a parallel of Revelation 19, 20, going to the lake of fire. All right, it says that the fourth beast, all right, their lives was prolonged.
The four of them.
The four beasts, yeah, which are four kingdoms.
Yes, we read.
So basically, this we're talking about world kingdoms here, okay? These are Babylon, the Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome, world kingdoms. So their lives was prolonged. In fact, the inhabitants of Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome, they're still around.
Yes.
All right? So these people will have their lives prolonged, but the power will be taken away. Just like Medo-Persia took over the power of Babylon and Greece took over the power of Medo-Persia. So when the Antichrist is thrown to the lake of fire, the power of the seventh empire, the ten horns, which has not yet come yet, will be taken away. So the leader, the Antichrist, the beast, will be thrown to the lake of fire. But their lives of these kingdoms, whoever will be left, or after all these wars, will continue, will be prolonged into the millennium.
How did you come up with this, that is through the millennium that their life will be prolonged?
Because chronologically, the beast is thrown to the lake of fire and his body destroyed in Daniel chapter 7. But the other four beasts, their lives is prolonged in contrast.
Okay, and how do you know it's the millennium? Talking about the millennium?
Because Revelation 19:20, the Antichrist is thrown, the beast, the throne, the lake of fire, in Revelation 19:20. And after that is the millennium.
Ah, okay. So because of Revelation 19?
Yeah, exactly.
I understand.
Look, if you go to Daniel 7:11, it says, I watched until, you got that scripture?
Yes. I watched till the beast was slain and its body destroyed and given to the burning flame.
Okay, so this
and
is...
the beast is the Antichrist.
Yeah, this is a... Revelation 19:11
mm-hmm.
is the same. It's a parallel.
Yes.
Okay, so try to understand that this stage of time, chronologically, we are here at the end of Armageddon, because Revelation 19 is Armageddon. So at the end of Armageddon, the Antichrist is thrown to the lake of fire together with the false prophets, Revelation 19:11. Got
yes,
that?
Yes.
So you are at the end of the tribulations, the end of the wrath of God, the end of everything.
Yes.
Because after Revelation 19:20 and 21, okay, it's the next chapter, which is the millennium.
Yes.
When the devil is in prison, or at the saints rule. So now this is the historical stage you are. Okay, now back to Daniel 7:11. The beast is thrown to the lake of fire.
Yes.
Got that?
Yes.
Good. Read the next scripture. The following, after that, what happens?
As for the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time.
Okay.
We read that, yes.
So, yeah, you understand. So try to keep in mind that this is the stage is Revelation 19:11 at the end of the tribulation, the end of Armageddon, just before the millennium. So at this stage, Antichrist goes to the lake of fire, while the other four beasts, four kingdoms, their lives is prolonged into what? Into the millennium.
Yes, it's clear. Okay.
And then Revelation 20, verse 4, the saints rule with Christ. Rules over who?
Like you said, over who?
Rules over the survivors of all the kingdoms of the earth, mm-hmm. which will be not many left, okay, for 1,000 years. And most of them are not going to get converted anyway, so much that at the end of the millennium, Revelation 20, verse 7, when the devil is set free, he will deceive them again. They will surround the camp of the saints, and God will burn them and destroy them, and their souls go to present themselves in front of the white throne judgment to be judged, and whoever doesn't pass such a judgment goes to the lake of fire. Those who pass goes into the new earth, next chapter, Revelation 21.
Amen. It's very clear. And it's exciting, actually, to see from the Bible, not with your opinions, Brother Joseph,
but from
the Bible.
No opinions.
That it is going to be like that. There will be inhabitants through the millennium. And who they are on top of it, you explained very clearly who they are.
Look, humans' opinions are just about usually wrong. Okay.
Yes.
Only a mighty, infallible prophet can have a good opinion. And it will not be his opinion, it will be a prophecy.
Man.
Okay, opinions are like mushrooms. They pop up everywhere. They're all different. Never, 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 never listen to opinions, give opinions, or believe to opinions. Go by either, if you don't have revelations based on the scripture, then go by the scripture. Understand?
Man.
If you don't have a car, take a bicycle. If you don't have a bicycle, walk.
Amen.
Okay, but don't try to fly if you're not a bird.
Amen.
Go there.
Amen. Any closing words, Brother Joseph, for the dear brethren?
Yeah, a prayer for Jesus to just bless us with this truth and prepare us, because the Antichrist is coming.
And to help us to understand the truth.
Understand the truth, and that comes only if we get on our knees, forsake our pride, our ideas, following false prophets. Today, the church is infested by false prophets, false teachers, people, I mean, which churches say we have a prophet here? We have somebody teaching prophecies.
Very few.
No, hardly. Because the body of Christ, I'm talking about the West, because in the poor third world, the persecuted countries, the churches are doing much better than the West because they've been persecuted, so they're on their knees.
Mm-hmm.
God is blessing them, people get converted. But in the West, the church is either dead or dying, or buried.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and with very few exceptions. And it's sad that there are so many sheep, so many sincere sheep inside these churches who want to do some things, but they don't let them. So a little prayer for God
Amen.
To liberate Philadelphia from the Laodicea.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, set free your children. I pray, Lord, that your sheep, your people, Jesus, they will follow your word, and not follow man's opinions, man's interpretations. Go to the world, to the world, to the world. All the rest is a deceit. All the rest is a carnal mind. All the rest is easily of the devil. To the world, to the world, to the world. Because the world, only the world is a trampoline from where we can jump into the perfect leading of the Holy Spirit. But people assume and say they are led by the Holy Spirit. If they are not based on the Word, it's a false Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will never, never teach anything that is not based on the Word, that we can check on the Word, that we can prove by the Word. Whatever the Holy Spirit guides, it can always be
Amen.
Proved by the Word. Whenever somebody gets a guidance without Amen. Scripture, that gentleman or that lady is a false prophet or prophetess. So true prophets who are truly Spirit-led, they will always be based on the Word, on the written Word, because the written Word is the measuring stick by which we can measure the Holy Spirit, to make sure it's the holy and not the unholy, to make sure it's Jesus Christ and not some false angel of light. Amen?
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Amen, dear brethren. God bless you. The Lord be with you, and we wait to hear from you. Any questions you want to send in, Brother Joseph will be more than glad to answer you. God bless you. Till we hear again, we send you lots of love in Christ and many
you.
Hugs.
Amen. In Jesus' name, amen.